The Enterprise flies towards a blue planet that grows ever larger in the forward viewscreen. On the bridge, Nurse Christine Chapel stands beside the empty captain's chair. Kirk checks a reading with an engineer on the upper level.
We're entering standard orbit, Nurse. Won't be much longer.
Christine moves aside to let Kirk sit.
I understand you gave up a career in bio-research to sign aboard a starship.
I know he's alive down there, Captain.
Pass Canada Bridge, status report green. Engineering control.
It's been 5 years since his last message.
Roger's a very determined man. He'd find a way to live.
Beginning signals to surface, sir.
Kirk goes over to Spock.
Put it on all frequencies, Lieutenant.
Ship's record banks show little we don't already know about this planet, Captain. Gravity is 1.1 of Earth, atmosphere within safety limits.
But the surface temperature of that planet is 100 degrees below zero.
It may have been inhabited once, but the sun in this system has been fading steadily for a 500,000 years. Now, Dr. Corby, often called the Pasteur of archaeological medicine, his translation of medical records from the Orion ruins revolutionized our immunization techniques.
Required reading at the Academy, Mr. Spock. I've always wanted to meet him. Do you think there's any chance of him still being alive?
Spock's screen shows Dr. Corby's photo. He turns it off.
I've tried all frequencies, sir. No return signal.
Keep trying.
Kirk and Christine exchange a look.
07 and building. Communicator, we need more lines to the impulse deck.
His last signal told about finding underground caverns.
And since then, two expeditions have failed to find him.
Christine lowers her eyes. Uhura turns from her desk with a sigh.
I've run all frequencies a second time, Captain. There's no...
Enterprise. Come in, Enterprise. This is Roger Corby. Repeating, this is Dr. Roger Corby. Do you read me, Enterprise? This is Dr. Roger Corby.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Starring William Shatner, also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. What are little girls made of?
Captain's log, stardate 2712.4. A signal from planet XO3. Dr. Roger Corby has been located. He and part of his expedition remaining alive due to the discovery of underground ruins left by the former inhabitants of this world.
Enterprise to Corby. We have your landing coordinates pinpointed. We're preparing to beam down a party. It may interest you to know that we have aboard this vessel...
I have a rather unusual request, Captain Kirk. Can you beam down alone, just yourself? Made discoveries of such a nature, they may require an extraordinary decision from you.
Spock goes over to Kirk's side.
It is an unusual request.
The man making it is Dr. Roger Corby.
You're certain you'd recognize his voice?
Have you ever been engaged, Mr. Spock?
Spock raises an eyebrow.
Oh, yes, it's Roger.
Agreed, Doctor. However, there will be two of us.
Hello, Roger.
Christine.
Yes, Roger.
Darling, where are you? Yes, by all means, Captain. I had no idea, no hope. Darling, are you all right?
Yes, Roger. Everything is all right now.
We're on our way, Doctor. We'll be with you in a moment. Enterprise out.
Spock takes the captain's chair as Kirk leaves the bridge, and Lieutenant Uhura gives Christine a congratulatory kiss as the nurse follows Kirk to the transporter room. The transporter technician sets the coordinates.
energize.
The technician advances the controls, and Kirk and Christine both vanish in the twinkling matter streams of the transporter platform. They materialize against a background of snow and jagged ice peaks stretching away to the horizon, the view through a window at the end of a passage cut through solid rock. There's no one to meet them. Kirk and Christine look around, puzzled.
You said he'd be waiting.
Dr. Corby?
Ahead of them, the cave winds away in a labyrinth of passages.
Dr. Corby? Possible we might have hit the wrong entry point. Kirk to Enterprise.
Spock here, Captain.
Beam down. Two security men.
Any problems, Captain?
Some delay in meeting us. Probably nothing at all. Kirk out. Corridors could be quite deep.
He takes a few steps down the passageway and turns back to Christine.
Getting here may have taken more time than he estimated. Don't worry.
Thank you.
They look back as two security guards in red jackets and black trousers with phasers at their belts materialize in front of the window looking out over the frozen landscape. The newcomers look around.
Rayburn, maintain post here.
Yes, sir.
Matthews, we'll look for Dr. Corby. You accompany us.
Yes, sir.
Matthews, the fairer of the two guards, follows Kirk and Christine down into the passageway, leaving Rayburn behind. The cave seemed to have been carved by natural forces. Stalagmites rise up from the floor in bizarre, twisted shapes, but occasionally an archway or the mouth to another passage has been shaped into a regular, squarish doorway. Kirk looks through one of the doorways and beckons the other two on. The rocky walls glow blue, purple, and red from the ambient light. Occasionally, Kirk stops, his eyes darting around the caves and passageways for signs of life. He and Christine come through a man-made doorway. The way ahead is a narrow ledge beside a steep drop. Christine's foot dislodges a rock and she nearly stumbles. Kirk grabs her. Kirk peers over the edge to follow the rock disappearing into the darkness. He takes Christine's hand and leads her on. Matthews lags behind. Ahead of them, a blinding beam of light suddenly shines out. Kirk levels his phaser as someone comes to stand in front of the light. Christine makes to go towards him, but Kirk holds her back.
Is that you, Dr. Corby?
The figure switches on a light.
Dr. Proud, it's Roger's assistant. Proud, me, where's Roger?
They run back towards Matthews.
Careful, please, careful.
Is there a path down there?
There's no hope, Captain. It's bottomless. He must have slipped.
Any chance of a projection or a ledge?
None, Captain.
As they look over the edge, a huge, bald-headed figure with sunken eyes, dressed in a green cape with a high collar, slips stealthily away.
Unfortunate. Terribly unfortunate. Dr. Corby was detained. I came as soon as I could. But not soon enough.
Kirk stands.
Brownie, what is it?
Explain.
Don't you recognize me?
The man smiles.
Christine, you look well. My name is Brown, Dr. Corby's assistant. I presume you are Captain Kirk?
Kirk nods, his eyes narrowed. He crouches and looks over the ledge again.
He's dead, I assure you. Come, Dr. Corby will be waiting.
You do know him well. An old friend?
Christine nods.
Well, I suppose living here for 5 years.
Brown waits for them to follow him. Kirk takes out his communicator.
Captain Kirk to Rayburn, report.
All quiet here at the entry, Captain.
Any problems there, sir?
We lost Matthews.
Apparently an accident. Tell the Enterprise to have a full security party standing by.
Yes, sir.
That we'll both report in at hourly intervals. If you and I lose contact, or if he fails to hear from either of us, he's to beam the security party down immediately. Kirk out.
The giant, bald-headed figure clamps his hand over Rayburn's mouth and pushes him to the floor.
Dr. Corby has discovered that as their sun dimmed, the inhabitants of this planet moved underground from an open environment to this dark world. When you were a student of his, Christine, you must have often heard Dr. Corby remark how freedom of movement and choice produced the human spirit. The culture of Exo-3 proved his theory. When they moved from light to darkness, they replaced freedom with a mechanistic culture. Dr. Corby has been able to uncover elements of this culture which will revolutionize the universe when freed from this cavernous environment.
A lozenge-shaped door slides open, and they find themselves in some sort of living quarters with wooden chairs and a rug on the floor. Several more doors open off it. Kirk and Christine look around warily. Another door slides open. The newcomer is a beautiful auburn-haired woman dressed in a pair of slacks which continue upwards to form a narrow crisscross bodice that barely covers her breasts. She smiles at Christine.
I'm Andrea. You must be Christine. I've always thought how beautiful your name is.
She turns and goes over to Kirk.
And you must be Captain Kirk of the Starship Enterprise. We appreciate you bringing Roger's fiancée to him.
I don't remember Dr. Corby mentioning it, Andrea.
Andrea turns back to Christine.
But you are exactly as Roger described you. No wonder he missed you so.
Where is Dr. Corby?
Here, Captain.
He comes forward.
Hey, I've been looking forward to...
Corby, who's grey at the temples and in his 50s, stops in his tracks at the sight of the platinum-haired nurse chapel. He holds out his hands, comes towards her, pulls her into his arms, and kisses her passionately.
Oh, I knew I'd find you.
Everything's all right now.
He breaks from the embrace and looks over at Kirk.
I'm Roger Corby.
There's no need to apologize, sir, and certainly no need to introduce yourself.
The captain lost a man in the caverns, Doctor.
What? How did it happen?
The pit near the outer junction. The edge must have given way.
I'm terribly sorry, Captain. Perhaps if I'd been there, I know the passages so well.
It wasn't your fault. Kirk to Rayburn, report. I'm required to make a security confirmation. When I call my ship, if you'll list your personnel, cargo requirements, any special needs.
Captain, I'd much prefer...
Rayburn, are you receiving me?
I prefer you waited, Captain. Please, until I've talked to you.
I've lost contact with my guard. I'm required to call my ship.
No communications, Captain.
Roger.
I'm sorry. If they should send down more people...
Roger, that man...
He won't be harmed, I promise you. Isn't it possible there could be things here unknown to you, so terribly important?
Sir... One man is dead. I've lost contact with the other.
Andrea.
She moves towards Kirk.
What are you doing?
This is necessary, Captain. You will understand. Andrea.
She tries to take Kirk's weapon. He seizes her pulser in front of him as a human shield and wrests his phaser from her hand. Brown, who's been covering Kirk with a weapon, looks for a clear shot but can't get one. Kirk pushes Andrea aside, rolls behind a table, and takes aim at Brown.
Drop it!
Kirk fires. The bald giant runs in, picks up Kirk, and slams him against the wall. Brown's wound reveals wiring and mechanical parts.
Open, Mr. Spock.
Spock here, Captain.
Contact established with Dr. Corby.
We were becoming concerned, Captain.
Your check-in was overdue, and since we'd not heard from your security team...
No problem, Mr. Spock. Bear with me.
We'll return to the ship within 48 hours. Dr. Corby's records and specimens will require careful packing.
It's the bald giant speaking.
Captain, are you all right? You sound tired.
If you move or cry out, Ruck may injure you. At least wait until you and I can talk.
Acknowledge, Captain. Is everything all right?
Fine, Mr. Spock. Dr. Corby has made some fascinating discoveries, all under control. Stand by for regular contact. Kirk out.
This is not a vain display, Captain. I'm a scientist. You obviously know of my reputation. Trust me.
Yes, I know your reputation. The whole galaxy knows who you are and what you stand for. That's why all this makes no sense.
There is so much you must learn before you make a final judgment. For example, Andrea.
The giant speaks.
You must be Captain Kirk of the Starship Enterprise.
It speaks in Corby's voice.
Christine, it's all right now. You see, Captain?
Yes, Roger. Everything is all right now.
That's enough. You are not to mock Christine. You will never harm her.
Or disobey an order from her.
Kirk looks at Corby intently.
You will not disobey her orders. Satisfied, Captain Kirk? Both love and trust. Now, give me 24 hours to convince you.
Doctor, do I need to be a prisoner to be convinced?
What would your first duty be upon a return to your vessel? Report! Do you realize the number of discoveries lost because of superstition, of ignorance, of a layman's inability to comprehend?
A simple layman's question, Doctor.
He gets up, walking past the giant who towers over him.
Where is my other crewman? Alive? Dead?
Ruck was programmed to protect my experiments. The logic of his machine mind saw a danger to me.
Where is my other crewman?
Ruck destroyed them both. But totally against my wishes, I assure you.
Kirk looks up at Ruck.
He's an android? Like Brown?
More complex than Brown. Much superior. I was left here by the old ones.
Ruck was still tending the machinery when we arrived here. How many centuries? Even Ruck doesn't know. With his help, with the records I could find, we built Brown.
You've convinced me, Doctor. You've convinced me that you're dangerous.
He runs for the door. Ruck throws him across the room and advances on him.
Ruck, no!
Kirk struggles to sit up. In another part of the cave complex, a door opens and Andrea enters. Christine gives her a withering look.
I do not understand.
Andrea comes towards her.
Why are you unhappy? You are with Roger again.
Where is Captain Kirk?
Andrea turns her back and steps away. Christine moves back into her eyeline.
You are concerned about the captain?
Yes, I'm concerned.
Andrea's eyes soften.
How can you love Roger without trusting him? Why does it bother you when I use the name Roger?
Andrea, it's sufficient that it does disturb her. You will call me a Dr. Corby from now on, Andrea.
Yes, Dr. Corby.
I didn't mean to eavesdrop, darling. As you can see, Captain Kirk is fine. He won't be harmed. The things at stake here simply make it necessary he doesn't send a report to his ship. I need time to explain and demonstrate to him and to you. Now, shall we start with Andrea?
Yes, let's start with Andrea.
Andrea goes over to where Ruck is holding Kirk by his arms.
I'm like Dr. Brown. An android.
Kirk and Christine look at her doubtfully.
Didn't you know?
Corby tilts up her chin.
Remarkable, isn't she? Notice the lifelike pigmentation.
variation in skin tones. The flesh has warmth. There's even a pulse, a physical sensation.
How convenient.
Christine, you must realize it. An android is like a computer. It does only what I program. As a trained scientist yourself, you must realize
that given a mechanical Dr. Brown, then a mechanical geisha would be no more difficult.
You think I could love a machine?
Did you?
Andrea is incapable of that. She simply obeys orders. She has no meaning for me. There's no emotional bond. Andrea, kiss Captain Kirk.
Andrea kisses Kirk on the lips.
Now strike him. You see? There's no emotion in her. No emotional involvement. She simply responds to orders. She's a totally logical computer. A thing. Yes, not a woman. Now, do you understand?
If these mechanical things have no feelings and perform only as you program them, then why did Brown try to shoot me? Why did he kill two of my men? There are many things I don't understand, Doctor.
I will answer all of your questions. Now.
In a laboratory, Ruck places a life-sized, humanoid-shaped object made of a green clay-like material onto one half of the turntable. Corby and Christine come into the laboratory. Corby nods to Andrea, who stands by a control panel. Christine looks at Corby in bewilderment.
This is how you make an android.
Andrea reaches up and turns a dial on the control panel in front of her.
Andrea?
The turntable slowly revolves. On the other half lies a flesh and blood human figure. It's Kirk, naked and pinioned to the table. He and Corby lock eyes. The turntable revolves with Kirk on one side and the green figure on the other.
Not being harmed, I promise.
The turntable starts to revolve faster. A large clamp covers Kirk's waist and pinions his wrists.
Roger, what's happened to you? When I sat in your class, what, you wouldn't even dream of harming an insect or an animal. No, life was sacred to you then.
He looks at her without emotion. The rate of revolutions increases.
Simply beamed up to their vessel with Brown and the others, I'd have given them objects of curiosity, beginnings of wild stories, foolish theories.
He looks down at the turntable. The two figures on it are little more than blurs. Behind Corby, Andrea and Ruck manipulate the controls. Corby glances over his shoulder at them.
Ruck! Now watch carefully.
The inanimate green lump starts to take on the hues of human flesh, and as Christine watches, it's apparent that there are now two identical figures on the turntable. Andrea adjusts more dials. Purple lights swell and dim. Corby turns round to Andrea and Ruck and nods. The turntable slows. Corby looks down at the two identical figures with a slight smile. Christine stares at them, bewildered. There's no way to tell them apart.
Choose, Christine. Which is your captain?
Christine looks carefully at each figure lying naked on its back.
I don't know. They're exact. I honestly don't know.
Synthetic organs are in place. We merely synchronize them with Kirk's autonomic nervous system, duplicating the rhythms of his body. At the same time, we duplicate the mental patterns.
Kirk turns his head.
Physical pattern complete. We now make a mental pattern.
He turns a dial.
Ready for final synaptic fusion.
Kirk listens.
Andrea, stand by for cortex circuits. The android will be so perfect, it'll even replace the captain. The same memories, the same attitudes, the same abilities.
Kirk thinks.
Activate circuits.
Mind your own business, Mr. Spock. I'm sick of your half-breed interference, do you hear? Mind your own business, Mr. Spock. I'm sick of your half-breed interference.
Kirk winces in pain as the mental duplication starts. Corby adjusts the settings. Kirk winces again. On the other side of the turntable, the android opens its eyes and moves its head. Corby comes back to Christine and looks down at the Enterprise's captain.
Complete.
Are you all right?
As far as I know.
Now, meet an android.
The table revolves and the duplicate Kirk looks over at Christine and smiles.
How do you do, Miss Chap?
Later, in the main living quarters, Andrea places two plates of food on a wooden dining table. Christine comes in, sees her, and checks her stride for a moment.
I am now programmed to please you also. Is the food appealing?
Yes, thank you.
As Christine sits, the door opens and Kirk comes in.
Please sit, Captain.
Thank you. I'm more or less on parole, I understand.
Dr. Corby suggested that you have lunch. He thought you might have a few things to talk about.
Andrea goes to the far side of the room.
Captain.
I know. I'd hate to be torn between commander and fiancé myself.
No, I'm not torn. But I'm puzzled. I'm worried.
Has he confided in you?
Nothing he hasn't told you. I know it doesn't make sense. What he's done may seem wrong, but he is Roger Corby, whatever he seems to be doing.
Unless something's gone wrong with his mind.
No, you're forgetting how well I know him. He's as sane as you or I.
Kirk frowns.
Nurse, if I gave you a direct order to betray him...
Please, don't ask me to make that choice. I'd much rather you push me off the same precipice where Matthews died.
She pushes her plate away.
Oh, no, I can't. Please, go ahead and eat.
Kirk pushes his plate away.
Androids don't eat, Miss Chapel.
She stares.
Even has your sense of humor.
Corby comes in, followed by Kirk in similar blue and tan overalls, and by Ruck. The android Kirk turns to look at them. The real Kirk sits, and they eye each other.
Well, there's one difference between us. I'm hungry. The difference is your weakness, Captain, not mine.
One at a time, gentlemen. Captain?
Eating is a pleasure, sir. Unfortunately, one you will never know, perhaps. But I will never starve, sir. He's an exact duplicate?
In every detail.
What about memory? Tell me about Sam. George Samuel Kirk, your brother. Only you call him Sam. He saw me off on this mission. Yes, with his wife and three sons.
Kirk glances at Corby.
He said he was being transferred to Earth Colony 2 research station. No, Captain. He said he was continuing his research and that he wanted to be transferred to Earth Colony 2.
You might as well try to outthink a calculating machine.
Obviously, I can't. But we do have some interesting differences.
Totally unimportant ones. You may leave now.
As the android leaves, the real Kirk surreptitiously unwinds a length of cord binding his chair leg.
You haven't guessed the rest? Not even you, Christine? What you saw was only a machine. Only half of what I could have accomplished. Do you understand? By continuing the process, I could have transferred you,
your very consciousness into that android. Your soul, if you wish. All of you. In android form, a human being can have practical immortality. Can you understand what I'm offering mankind?
Programming. Different word. But the same old promises made by Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar, Hitler, Ferris, Malthus.
Can you understand that a human converted to an android can be programmed for the better? Can you imagine how life could be improved if we could do away with jealousy, greed, hate?
It can also be improved by eliminating love, tenderness, sentiment. The other side of the coin, Doctor.
No one need ever die again. No disease, no deformities, or even fear can be programmed away and replaced with joy. I'm offering you a practical heaven, a new paradise, and all I need is your help.
All you wanted before was my understanding.
I need transportation to a planet colony, with proper raw materials. Now, I'm sure there are several good possibilities among your next stops. No diversion from your route. I want no suspicions aroused. I'll begin producing androids carefully, selectively.
Yes, yes. No one need know. No need to frighten uninformed minds.
They must be strongly infiltrated into society before the android existence is revealed. I want no wave of hysteria to destroy what is good and right. Are you with me, Captain?
You've created your own Kirk. Why do you need me?
I created him to impress you, not to replace you.
I'm impressed, Doctor. But not the way you think.
He leaps on Corby.
Stand back, Doctor! I'll kill him.
He twists the cord around Corby's neck.
Stay back.
Ruck shadows him, poised to attack. Kirk backs towards the door, which slides open as he approaches. He throws Corby into Ruck's arms and runs down the passageway. Ruck takes the cord from Corby's neck.
Ruck! Protect!
The giant figure sets off after Kirk.
Roger!
Christine puts a hand on Corby's arm. Ruck, agile for such a huge creature, slips through the passageways. Ahead of him, Kirk, still wearing blue and tan overalls, runs through the labyrinth of rocky caverns.
Ruck! No!
She sets off after Ruck.
No! Dr. Corby said you are to obey me! Ruck! Ruck!
He hesitates for a second, then carries on in pursuit of Kirk. Christine trails him.
Ruck! I order you not to harm him!
Kirk comes through one of the doorways in the cavern passages. Ahead of him, the pathway slopes steeply uphill, winding past a tall pillar of rock. Kirk skirts around it and ducks behind another doorway. Ruck appears at the foot of the steep slope. He ducks under the doorway and looks around, listening. Kirk, pressed against the cavern wall, grabs hold of a stalactite hanging from the roof and breaks it off to use as a weapon. Ruck cocks his ear at the sound. He imitates Nurse Chapel.
Captain Kirk! Where are you?
Kirk listens. Ruck looks behind him and calls back through the doorway.
Captain Kirk! I can help you!
Ruck starts to leave.
Christine, is that you?
Ruck ducks back through the doorway. Hearing the heavy tread, Kirk holds the stalactite ready. Ruck climbs the path until they are just around the corner from each other. Kirk attacks. Ruck pushes him away. Kirk topples over a precipice. As he falls, he grabs at a ledge. Ruck steps to the edge and glares down implacably. Kirk, hanging on for his life, looks up at the huge, bald-headed android. Kirk hangs onto the edge of a precipice. Ruck, the huge, bald-headed android created by the Old Ones, towers over him, glaring down. Ruck stretches out a hand and plucks Kirk to safety, as if the captain weighed no more than a feather. On board the Enterprise, the lift opens, and the captain, in a gold and black Starfleet uniform, steps out.
Captain!
Spock, jotting down notes at a nearby station, follows him into the captain's cabin.
Captain. Finish the head of schedule.
Dr. Corby has considerable cargo to beam aboard. I'll have to go over our destination schedule with him.
You're going back down with the command package?
Mind your own business, Mr. Spock. I'm sick of your half-breed interference. Do you hear?
Yes. Very well, Captain.
You look upset, Mr. Spock. Is everything all right up here?
No problems here, sir.
Good. I'll beam up shortly with Dr. Corby and party.
Spock watches as Kirk leaves, then turns aside, his expression thoughtful. The captain steps back into the turbo lift. Spock raises an eyebrow and goes over to the nearest intercom.
Security, Spock here. Status of your landing party?
Ready and standing by, sir.
Have them meet me in the transporter room after the captain has beamed down.
On the planet...
I looked it over. I think you'll find planet Midas 5 an excellent choice.
Small colony, abundant raw materials. It made a good beginning, Captain.
Thank you. I felt quite at home on the Enterprise.
The real Captain Kirk lies on a wooden bed in a small room. The door slides open, and Andrea comes in to collect his tray.
Andrea.
He seizes her wrist and sits up.
Kiss me.
She does as she's told. She goes to slap him. He grabs her arm. He pulls her towards him and kisses her passionately on the lips. Without taking his lips from hers, he puts his arms around her, but all the time his eyes are open, monitoring her reaction. She pulls away, shaking her head. Her brown eyes are troubled.
No. Not programmed for you.
She turns away, picks up the tray again, and heads for the door. Kirk steps up behind her, stroking her hair.
What's the matter, Andrea? Confused.
He nuzzles her cheek.
No.
She leaves. Kirk tries to follow, but Ruck appears and throws him back onto the bed.
Emotion, Ruck.
Kirk gets up.
You disapprove of Miss Chapel's orders to save my life?
To maintain your existence would be illogical.
Why? Can't your memory bank solve a simple equation like that? What happened to the Old Ones, Ruck?
So long ago.
Is it possible they built their machines too well? Gave them pride and a desire to survive? Machines that wanted logic and order and found that frustrated by the illogical emotional creatures that built them?
Yes, the Old Ones, the ones who made us. They grew fearful of us. They began to turn us off.
And isn't it Corby who's creating the same danger to you all over again? Unlike you, we humans are full of unpredictable emotions that logic cannot solve.
Yes. Yes, it had been so long ago, I had forgotten. The Old Ones here, the ones who made us, yes. Yes, it is still in my memory banks. It became necessary to destroy them. You are inconsistent. You cannot be programmed. You are inferior.
And Corby?
You came from the outside. You bring disorder here.
The danger to you is Corby.
I was programmed by Corby. I cannot harm him.
The Old Ones programmed you too, but it became possible to destroy them.
That was the equation. Existence, survival, must cancel out programming.
That's it. Rock, logic. You can't protect someone who's trying to destroy you.
Rock, I would like...
Rock throws Kirk aside.
You brought him among us. You brought the inferior ones. We had cleansed ourselves of them. Now you bring the evil back.
Rock, stop. You're programming.
Rock keeps advancing. Corby takes out a phaser. Rock disappears in a glow of green light. Corby, standing with Christine in the doorway, comes over to Kirk.
I had no choice.
He gestures to the door. Kirk gets up, and Corby ushers him and Christine back to the main living quarters. The lozenge-shaped door slides open.
A man with respect for all things alive. How can I explain the change in you? If I was to tell Earth that I was in your hands, to tell them what has become...
Kirk throws Corby back against the door. It closes on his arm. He pushes Kirk away and pulls his hand free. The skin on the back of Corby's hand is torn and hanging off, revealing not flesh and blood, but the silver circuitry of an android. Kirk and Christine stare. Corby fends off Kirk with the phaser.
It's still me, Christine. Roger. I'm in here. You can't imagine how it was. I was frozen, dying. My legs were gone. I had only my brain between life and death.
Christine shakes her head in horror.
This can be repaired. Easier than another man can set a broken finger. I'm still the same as I was before, Christine. Perhaps even better.
Are you Roger?
Corby turns to a small communication screen set in the wall.
Andrea.
Yes, Doctor.
Someone in the outer junction.
Spock, you must have got my message.
I will find Ruck.
But he'll never find us in this maze.
Ruck has been shut off.
Get a weapon, deal with it. Protect.
Andrea reaches onto the top of the android duplication panel and takes down a phaser gun. As she steps out into the corridor, the android Kirk is approaching. She turns to him.
I will kiss you.
No.
You will not?
It is illogical.
The android Kirk glows green and vanishes.
I'm the same. Direct transfer. All of me. Human. Rational, but without a flaw.
He freed himself and I destroyed him.
Andrea hesitates, seeing the real Kirk. She goes over to Corby, her mouth opening and closing.
I am not programmed for alarms. I listened to your instructions, obeyed them as stated.
She killed the android, Corby. The same way you killed Ruck. Is this your perfect world? Your flawless beings killing off one another? Aren't you doing exactly what you hate most in humans? Killing with no more concern than when you turn off a light?
I'm not a computer. Test me. Ask me to solve any...
He frowns, blinking.
Equate. Transmit.
His eyes puzzled, he turns imploringly to Nurse Chapel.
Christine, let me prove myself. Does this make such a difference?
Don't you see, Roger? Everything you've done has proved it isn't you.
I am Roger Corby! And prove it.
Give me that phaser gun. If there's any human left in you, give it to me.
No. You will never understand. I constructed a perfect being. Tested it. Proved it.
His eyes grow confused and he comes to a halt almost as if he'd been switched off. Kirk steps towards him. Slowly, Corby raises his hand and hands over the phaser gun.
Andrea, give me the weapon.
No, protect.
She raises her gun.
Protect.
She turns from Kirk to Corby.
To kiss you.
No, you cannot love.
Sadly, he shakes his head.
You're not human.
Love you. Kiss.
As she kisses him, Corby presses the trigger of her gun. They both vanish. Christine bows her head and grabs a chair for support.
Captain Kirk! In here, Spock!
Spock arrives with a security detail.
Captain, are you all right? Nurse? Where's Dr. Corby?
Solemnly, Kirk turns aside.
Dr. Corby was never here.
The starship leaves planetary orbit. At the front is the saucer-shaped main hull. Below and behind, connected by a huge pylon, is the cylindrical engineering hull, from which two more pylons rise in a V-shape, supporting the long tubular warp drive nacelles. On the bridge, Nurse Chapel is talking to Captain Kirk. Spock comes over.
Thank you for letting me make the decision, Captain. I'm quite certain I'm doing the right thing.
She's staying with the ship. Something bothering you, Mrs. Spock?
Frankly, I was rather dismayed by your use of the term half-breed, Captain. You must admit, it is an unsophisticated expression.
I'll remember that, Mr. Spock. The next time I find myself in a similar situation.
They both hide their smiles.
Steady as we go, Helm.
The Enterprise heads out into deep space. This audio description was written and produced by IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.